This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Milwaukee's place as a hub for human trafficking has attracted media attention both locally and internationally. The Federal Bureau of Investigation confirms the city has a significant problem, especially when it comes to adolescents being trafficked.
But a number of organizations are undertaking efforts to alleviate the problem. Among them is Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, which is working to better educate medical providers in identifying and helping children who may be the victim of exploitation.
Dr. Angela Rabbit is a pediatrician and director of the hospital's Child Advocacy and Protection Services Fellowship, and Dr. Wendy Ehrman is a professor of adolescent medicine and author of a peer-reviewed article on the subject. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So we see statistics that show Milwaukee ranking near the top of major cities in a bad way for human trafficking crimes. How much importance and how much stock, I guess, do you place on the statistics versus the broader problem of human trafficking?
Well, the statistics are pretty difficult. It's a very hidden crime, so we don't have a good sense of how many victims are really out there. So I don't know if we can say for sure that Milwaukee is the top in the U.S., but we certainly have every problem that every other major city has.
And being a large city with a lot of the issues that surround trafficking, I think that makes us, it makes it a little bit more of a public problem. I mean, we definitely do have a problem. Are we the worst? We don't know. And I don't really think that matters. I think understanding and being aware of the problem is much more of an important issue.
Right. And so give us a primer. What do you see playing into this dynamic? You know, you say being a large city with the issues that we have as a large city, what are the things that contribute to human trafficking being a problem here?
Well, one of the issues is our location. You know, we're kind of right in the middle of Green Bay and Chicago down south. So we're right in the middle of those two areas where a lot of, Chicago's a larger city. Green Bay has sporting events, and those tend to be areas where we see a lot of trafficking. And so the area between here and Green Bay, the Fox Valley area, tends to be high in trafficking, and also kind of the Racine area down on the way to Chicago.
I also think that some of the things that Milwaukee struggles with, like poverty and discrimination and a lot of psychosocial issues among some of the families, contributes a lot to the issues that we see here.
Let's talk about, because you are both health professionals, and we don't always think of health professionals being part of the equation in terms of doing something about this issue. Where do health professionals and where do you see your work contributing to interrupting the cycle?
Well, I think I'm a primary care physician, so we sometimes are on the front line. We may be seeing these youth and not even recognizing it, so it's really important because most youth at some point need to obtain health care. So we may be the first ones that these kids come into contact with that can learn to recognize what's going on and be suspicious.
And if you look at surveys of survivors, almost 90% of them say that they did see a medical provider at some point during the time that they were being trafficked.
And are they typically seeing the provider for something that's linked to issues caused by being trafficked?
They can be seen for anything, but they do often come in for reproductive health care issues, violence-related injuries. The emergency department is one of the main places that they're seen.
Well, okay. So then let's talk about what you as physicians are able to do when you see someone. You know, first of all, how much do doctors typically know about, you know, indications that the person you're seeing might be a victim of human trafficking?
Well, we did a survey a couple of years ago of medical providers in Wisconsin, and less than half were able to actually appropriately label a victim as a victim of trafficking. So we know that medical providers haven't been very aware of the issue and aren't as knowledgeable maybe as we would like them to be. But I think we've been working pretty hard to educate, and I feel like there's been a lot more awareness recently, so I'm hoping those numbers will improve over the next couple of years.
Yeah, community-wide, this has become a hot topic, and so I think there's been a lot of information out there. The Community Human Trafficking Task Force has put out a lot of awareness campaigns on this. So I think there are more people that are starting to ask questions and to, you know, start to think about this issue.
Well, and so how are you going about educating the physician community at large?
Dr. Rabin and I have done a number of presentations for medical organizations around Milwaukee and actually around Wisconsin. So we go and we talk about the risk factors and what to look for and how to recognize it and then, you know, what you can do.
We also have an online training that we've developed that's on our website through our organization, POSI. So medical providers, if they want to look at that, they can go to posi.org to find it.
POSI is an acronym, right?
Yes. It stands for the Proactive Outreach for the Health of Sexually Exploited Youth.
Additionally, Dr. Rabbit's developed a medical student curriculum so that medical students can start to learn about this, which is really important because they're the next line, they're next providers out there.
Well, so as doctors and medical students who will someday be doctors, what can you or what can they do? What kind of position are you in to make change?
I think the first thing is the awareness and being able to recognize that somebody may be at risk for it. That's number one, because if you don't look for it, you're not going to find it, although it's out there. Just my own personal experiences, looking back, I can think of many youth that I've missed that looking, you know, when I think about it now, I can see all the risk factors that were right in front of my face, but I just didn't know enough at the time to recognize it. So I don't want that to happen again. Actually, I met somebody who, locally recently who's now an adult and who works in this area and realized after talking, you know, she acknowledged that things had happened to her as a youth and I missed it. I'm not going to let that happen again.
Well, right. So if you do recognize something as a doctor, what can you do?
I think the first thing is to you recognize it and then to develop a relationship with the youth because they're not always very trusting at first. You know, offer them services. A lot of times there's a lot of trauma that these youth have gone through, so they may not be willing at first to come out and admit things to you. And even sometimes they're not willing to accept help. So developing that trusting relationship, offering them services. I mean, these youth need contraceptive management. They need testing for sexually transmitted diseases. They can have other health-related issues that aren't being taken care of, including malnutrition, obesity, chronic issues that haven't been taken care of, dental issues. So, you know, trying to address what they're willing to accept and then developing a relationship so you can get them back.
Also, knowing how to approach them, knowing how to ask the question, I think is important. A lot of medical providers don't screen because they don't know how to ask. But it is important, especially for youth. Sometimes youth, they don't even understand what's happening to them. They don't realize that it's exploitation. So even asking the question and screening can be a way of educating them.
You can plant a seed, basically, in them that they know that you're a safe place to come back to if they're not willing to open up yet.
Do physicians have a requirement? Are there requirements if they recognize that something like this is going on?
It depends on the age. For adults, we're not required to report to law enforcement. It's a lot like domestic violence. We can report if the patient wants us to report. For minors, and in Wisconsin, a minor is someone less than 18 years of age, we are mandated reporters. So if we have a reasonable suspicion that the child's being exploited, we do have to report it to Child Protective Services and law enforcement.
You say knowing what you know now about the issue, you've gone back and reevaluated your interactions with patients from years past. And I mean, that must be at some level kind of heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, are you now today seeing successes either with your own practice or from what you understand being part of this field that there are doctors that are already making a difference on sort of the front lines of this?
I think that, you know, through our trainings that some of the residents and students have now become more aware of this and are not afraid to ask questions. They also know if they have a question that they can contact us. So I think that's important. People are no longer afraid to ask because people don't ask if they're not going to ask about something that they can't take care of. You know, then they don't. What are they going to ask for if they can't do anything about it?
We've also been able to develop relationships with investigators and really work on the way we communicate and the way we handle these cases. And so You know, one of the issues for medical providers as well, I don't know if I want to ask, because if I do, is anything good really going to happen? But there's a lot happening in Wisconsin kind of from the investigative side. So now things are happening and we're moving in the right direction in terms of our community response.
The other big change that we have now is the victim advocacy law, which allows victims, they show up in the emergency room, they can request to have an advocate with them. We don't have enough of them yet, but we do have that option, and there are some people in Milwaukee who will come and be at the side of some of these youth that they need that extra support, who aren't going to be a police officer, aren't going to be a social worker, and making those relationships has been tremendous.
Is this training and are these guidelines, are they designed just for physicians, or are we talking about medical providers at all levels, nurses, physician assistants, other people that patients might encounter along the way?
They're really developed for medical providers, which can include physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, anyone that is providing care for youth. Also, social workers that work in healthcare setting can utilize them as well.
Where do you see things needing to go from here, given that you're already working to reach more? You know, you've talked about reaching medical students. You talk about reaching a higher percentage of doctors in the region. Where do you see things needing to go beyond that point?
In terms of the medical response, we would really like to engage other health systems beyond Children's Hospital and the medical college to help them, you know, develop their responses based on the experiences that we've had. We could be a resource for that.
Well, Wendy Ehrman and Angela Rabbit, thank you to both of you, both for spending some time with us and for the work that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Wendy Ehrman is an adolescent medicine specialist at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Dr. Angela Rabbit is an associate professor of pediatrics there. You can find links at WUWM.com to more about their efforts to educate medical professionals about identifying and treating victims of human trafficking.